Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.
I want you to turn with me this morning, Book of Matthew, chapter 7. Terry and I have been on vacation, and I can tell you this. This is the first time in 37 years that we went on vacation and didn't worry about the phone ringing, knowing that Pastor Marty was here and everything was handled and everything was under control. And that was a major, major blessing to us. And Marty has been here a year ago yesterday. He came on staff, and amen. He loves the Lord. He loves the church. Heritage has been through a couple of rough years. Me fighting cancer. We've tried to find someone that could come in and take my place. And many might say, well, Pastor, boy, the first round you made a big mistake. No, God wanted us to go through what we went through so we can see what we need to see so that we can go forward with what we need to go forward with. God has a way of teaching us, and sometimes we need a good lesson. And my dad always told me, Bobby, you always learn the hard way. And I never get over that. So I want you to turn with me, Matthew chapter 7. It's good to see a congregation coming back. We had a good crowd this morning. We have a good crowd today. And Matthew 7, verse 7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and for he who seeks finds, and he who knocks it will be opened. Or what is man, is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? Therefore, whatsoever you want to do to you, do also to them. For this is the law of the prophets. Our Heavenly Father, I want you to take this message, Lord, the best that you can, and open up the hearts and minds of our people. Lord, I pray that there isn't a person sitting under my voice that cannot hear what you want them to hear, that cannot make do what you want them to do. And Lord, I pray that this message be not delivered in vain, but to listening ears that are ready today to hear what we need to say. In Jesus' name, amen. The past several weeks, I've had many conversations with many people. One is about opening up the church and getting things open, and how are we going to get the congregation back? Then Jackie talked to me. She said, you know, Pastor, we had to buy a new air conditioner and a new furnace, and we've got to put a new roof on over here on this side, and we've upgraded the furniture in the lobby area, and we've done these things, and we really need to get the offerings up. What can we do? So I started praying about that for the last few weeks. Lord, what can we do to get the people back? What can we do to get the offerings up? What can we do to get the people who are making commitments to actually follow through and do those commitments and get the work done? And the Lord spoke very loudly, and he said, do what you did for 37 years. You know, 37 years ago, we were downtown in a large building with a small crowd. We didn't have any money. The carpet was wore out. The pews, if you sat on them, some of you remember, you would get pinched. And luckily, all of us that knew about the church and the pews, we didn't sit there. But the new people came in and they thought, well, this is a bit uncomfortable. And so getting them to come back and sit in the same pew just wasn't going to happen. But we started to pray. And I remember down in a Sunday school class, Roger Davison, he usually sits back here in the corner. The right side of his face was paralyzed, and he couldn't talk. And he said it just came on him. He'd been to the doctor. They believed that he had a growth in the center of his brain. And we had this new young people Sunday school class, and we prayed for him. And on Monday, when he went in the doctor, on the way to the doctor, his face started loosening up, and he could, and his tongue started loosening up where he could talk. And he went in to have the MRI or whatever else they were going to do. And he said, I don't think I need it done. I believe God healed me. And they said, well, we know what we saw before, so we need to go through these tests. And when they came through the test, it was gone. Roger's the guy who's the chairman of our board when we built this building. So in that little Sunday school class, we saw that God asking God for something. We saw God specifically answering that prayer. Praying is asking. You say, well, praying is praise, and praying is, no, praying is asking. All through the Bible where you see someone pray, they're asking. When the blind Bartimaeus came to Jesus, Jesus said, what do you want? He said, I want to see. And Jesus knelt down, touched his eyes, and he said, you can see. When he went by the pool of Bethesda and a man was laying there on the carpet, he said, what do you want? He said, I want to walk. He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. When he went to see Lazarus' sisters, he said, what did you want? They said, we didn't want him to die. And Jesus said, he isn't dead. Take me to your brother. And he rose from the dead. Praying is always asking all through the Bible. Every time you see a prayer, it's someone asking. And somehow we have been taught that if we ask for something personal, that, oh, that's just selfishness. No, it isn't. This church was built on prayer. I remember we didn't have enough money for the payment for the church building coming due on Monday. We needed $8,000. And I was sitting right over here, a couple, they told me, they said, we have on Saturday night, they said, we have $8,000. We inherited some money. Can you tell us where to best give it at the church? And on Monday, we paid the payment. This last year, we've had people send in one $14,000, another $13,000, right at the time when we needed it because we prayed it down. Malcolm Kennedy was a treasurer. One thing that Malcolm and I learned when we needed finances or we needed something taken care of, we didn't bring it to the church and tell you, we're out of money, we need you to give more money, we need you. We took it to prayer, and God answered prayer. When you see that God answers prayer, you'll give more. When you see God answers prayer, you'll talk more about what's going on at church, and the church will fill up. When we see that God is a God that wants to give us what our needs are in order to fulfill his purpose, we will see everything grow. If I go out and water my flowers, and my flowers start to bloom, and my neighbor says, what are you doing? And I'll say, I'm watering my flowers. Well, I'm going to start watering mine then. It caught on to my neighbor. If I say, this happened because I prayed at work, somebody's going to say, well, I'm going to start praying. If we say, what happened in a family reunion, and they say, what happened? You say, well, I prayed, and the family starts praying. Everything starts with prayer because God is a God that wants to meet our needs. Jesus said, let my house be called a house of prayer. We're saved by praying. Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10:13. Jesus said, Whatsoever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. John 14:13. Martin Luther said, God does nothing but by prayer. When I was a kid in the Navy, God knew that I was going to be a preacher all my life. I didn't know that. God knew that. I had a 1951 Chevy pickup truck. I bought it for $50. I needed a second car. The problem with it was it had no first gear or reverse. You know those on four, three on the handle? Had no first and reverse. Didn't have it from the day I got the truck. I would drive the truck in, and Terry and I, we just got back from vacation. We went down to Pax River, Maryland, where I was stationed 50 years ago. I showed her where I was called to preach, standing on the tarmac under the airplane wing. I showed her where I parked my truck on the back of the parking lot because I couldn't park up close because I had to pull in straight and I had to pull out straight. And you know how you give it just a little bit of clutch because you're in second gear, not first gear? That was me. So I'm in the shop, and I'm talking about prayer. Why are you talking about prayer? Because God answers prayer, and I saw God answer prayer. I said, you know, so-and-so came to church and gave his life to the Lord. And they said, well, how did that happen? I said, well, I've been praying for him for 6 weeks. My buddy from Missouri, Lloyd Clauser, needed my truck. And he said, why don't you pray for your truck then? He asked to borrow my truck, and then we were going to meet for dinner, and I had to fly that day. So I went out and got on the airplane, and I said, Lord, you can do anything. Saving me was a big deal. Matter of fact, one of the biggest things that I could ever think of ever could happen, he saved me. I said, would you fix my truck? I mean, the reverse and first don't work in it. And I was serious. We landed. Lloyd came, picked me up. We're going to dinner. And he said, at dinner, he said, when did you fix your truck? I said, what do you mean fix my truck? He said, reverse and first. And I said, I never fixed it, but I did pray about it today on the airplane after you had said I ought to pray about it. He said, well, it works. And sure enough, I drove it home. I had a reverse and first. I had a tire. When you make $48 every 2 weeks, you don't have any money, okay? I had a tire that every night it would go down on the front passenger side. And I had a hand pump. I would go out and I would pump it up. Didn't take long. I'd go to work and the tire would go down. So I would go out after work and I'd pump the tire up. I'd look around and make sure nobody was really watching. And I'd pump the tire up. That night I said, Lord, I sure wish you'd fix my tire too. Till I get rid of that truck. And I traded it on a Renault, which wasn't much better, but that tire never went down, and I had first and reverse. And you know what God is saying to this 20-year-old boy? I answer prayer. I hear all of your prayers, and I will continue to answer your prayers. I was called to preach after that, and I went home and told my mom, I am in the Navy, and I said, Mom, the Lord called me to preach. I'm going to be a full-time minister. She started getting all excited, and she said, God answered prayer. And I said, what? You was praying I preached? She said, no, I was praying guardrails on that straight, narrow road for you. Boy, I remember. I can tell you a point and place where I ran into those guardrails that Mom had prayed up on that road, that I didn't get off the road and didn't get into trouble where I could have got into trouble. God answers prayer. If the church needs more money, it isn't getting on you to give more money. If the church needs more members, it isn't getting on you to invite people. If the church needs more dedicated workers, it isn't getting on you to work more dedicated. It's to get on you about prayer and understand that God hears and answers your prayer. And when you see it, you'll give more. When you see it, you'll work more. When you see it, you'll talk more. Prayer is the key to everything that God wants to do in this church and in your life and in your family. Well, preacher, I don't know how to pray. Prayer is just talking to God. I always said I do a whole lot better job praying in private than I do in public. Public, you have this other thing on your mind that there's people listening. Isn't it amazing how when they have a prayer at the federal government somewhere that they have people analyzing the prayer and what the guy said and so forth? I'm sorry, but we're not talking to you when we pray. I went out to Casper, Wyoming, and I was preaching in a church out there. And I went home with a guy, and he had about six kids or seven kids. We're all set around the table, and he said, "Billy, will you pray?" And Billy said, "Lord." He said, "Billy, I can't hear you." And I leaned over, and I said, "I don't think he's talking to you. I'm sorry, but prayer isn't to you. Prayer's to an almighty God that has the resources to give us the air that we breathe and the water that we drink and the food that we eat in the house that we're in. That God has the resources of everything, and he owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, and he don't rent those hills, and he owns the gold in the hills and the oil in the hills. That's the God we serve. And if our people, if every one of you today would start praying specifically for specific things, you would see God answering specifically in his name. Well, preacher, but I've prayed and I haven't had my prayers answered. Are you asking in his name? You say, yeah, I say in Jesus' name, amen. I'm sorry, but that's ritual. That isn't what he means when he says pray in Jesus' name. You say, well, I'm not into rituals, preacher. I'm sorry, but your ritual isn't any better than theirs. When you pray in Jesus' name, let me give you just a little example. Jackie's our treasurer, our church administrator here. Jackie writes the checks here. The money comes in for the church, and it goes into an account. And out of that account, Jackie writes checks. She writes checks for the gas bill, for the electric bill. She writes checks for cleaning. She writes checks for the new air conditioner we have. She writes checks for the paint that we put on, for the garbage that we have picked up. She writes checks for almost everything, you think, right? And I can go to Jackie and say, Jackie, I want to have a new porch put on the back of my house. I need a check. You know what she's going to tell me? I'm sorry, that's not in the church's name. You're asking outside of what I can do, because what you want is something selfish. It's not something that's going to build the church. It's not something that I have been given authority to give you money for. When Jesus is saying, in my name, it's his purpose. It's to build his kingdom. It's to build his church. It's to live for him. It's for righteousness. And you say, well, I prayed and I got angry because God didn't answer prayer. That's probably a selfish prayer if you got angry. If I pray for me to get $1 million, Marty, and I don't get it, I might get angry. But if I pray for you to get $1 million and you don't get it, that probably won't bother me. It comes down to selfishness. It comes down to, is it in my will, in God's will, or not God's will? And Jesus says, if it is my will, I'm not going to give you a serpent. I'm going to give you the bread. Well, how do we pray? We pray in Jesus' name, in his work that he has called us all to do. And in his work, what does he want us to do? Have you ever prayed about what God wants you to do, what God wants you to give, what God wants you, who God wants you to talk to? We had those 10 things rules when I was training salesmen, how to train a good salesman, how to be a good salesman. You know what they were? Talk to people was number one. Number two was talk to people. Number three was talk to people. Number four was talk to people. Number five was talk. Number 10 was talk to people. You want to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? Talk to people. Don't talk to people about Jesus. Talk to people about what Jesus has already done for you and what he is doing and what he did yesterday for you. Talk to them about what's happening in your life, because if he isn't happening in your life, they're not going to see anything that they need for their life. And that comes by prayer. Here's a little poem that I read many years ago, and it's about Cyrus Brown, and it's about prayer. "The proper way for a man to pray," said Deacon Lemuel Keyes, "and the only proper attitude is down upon his knees." "No, I should say, the way to pray," says Reverend Dr. Wise, "is standing straight with outstretched arms and rapt and upturned eyes." "Oh, no, no, no," said Elder Slow. "Such posture is too proud. A man should pray with eyes fast closed and head contritely bowed. It seems to me his hand should be astutely clasped in front, with both the thumbs pointing toward the ground," said Dr. Blunt. "Last year I fell in Hodgkin's Well, head first," said Cyrus Brown, "with both my heels a-sticking up and my head a-sticking down. I made a prayer right then and there, the best prayer I ever said. The prayingest prayer I ever prayed was standing on my head." Sometimes we wonder why we go through trials. Sometimes it's so that God can get us to pray. Listen to me. If we pray, God's promise is that he'll answer. God said, don't talk to him about money. Don't talk to him about commitment. Don't talk to him about inviting their friends. Talk to him about praying. Because when they pray, I'll answer. Then they'll have something to talk about. Then they'll have something to give to. Then they'll have something to work for. Pray. Let's stand. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for all the prayers that you have answered at this altar, in this church. Lord, the church grew. The church is financially stable because we pray. Lord, the last couple years we may have slipped a little bit. So bring us all back to prayer. Lord, we don't want to go through heartaches or trials. We want to pray. And Lord, we know that we pray when someone gets sick. Help us to pray before someone gets sick. Help us, Lord, to ask for the little things, to pray without ceasing, to pray continually over and over and over until we see it, or until you change us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for tuning in to the Heritage Church of God podcast. We invite you to join us for Sunday morning services at 10:30 at 3520 Strayer Road, Maumee, Ohio. Thanks for joining us, and have a blessed day.